Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Have you ever had a truffle, maybe a white truffle risotto or some scallops with black truffle sauce? If not, better start saving. Truffles are a delicious but very expensive kind of fungi. As our next guest knows well, his name is Ian Perkiastha, and he's the creator and owner of Regalis Foods. He's been importing truffles since he was a teenager. His new book is Truffle Boy, My Unexpected Journey Through the Exotic Food Underground, and he joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And we should say, by the way, you're 24 years old right now.
I am.
You are. And how did you get into truffles as such a young person growing up in Fayetteville, Arkansas?
Well, my family actually relocated from Houston, Texas to rural Arkansas when I was 15. And the move to Arkansas was really to pursue a simpler lifestyle. My uncle and his family were living in Arkansas, and I started spending a lot of time with my uncle, who is an avid outdoorsman. And he showed me how to mushroom forage. So the first few mushrooms he showed me how to forage for were morels and chanterelles and black trumpets. And I had always loved cooking and eating well, and so I kind of became obsessed with all things mushroom-related. And I knew that truffles were regarded as the king of all mushrooms. And so on a visiting trip to Houston, I was fortunate enough to go to dinner with some of our old affluent friends from Houston, and they told me that I could order anything on the menu. And I saw this black truffle ravioli dish with a foie gras sauce, and so I ordered it. And from the very moment I tasted it, it was this amazing, unusual, earthy flavor, and I just became totally obsessed. And so when I returned to Arkansas, I begged my parents to give in, to buy me a truffle or two, and their immediate reaction was, of course not, because Fayetteville was kind of our reset at all things lavish and fancy. And so I decided to pool together my savings from several Christmases in hopes of buying my first shipment of truffles.
And selling them to some of the restaurants in the area. I was wondering because, you know, when you go out to dinner, even in some of the biggest cities in this country, at some of the fanciest restaurants, it's still sometimes hard to find a place that has truffles on the menu. But you were able to find a number of places in Fayetteville or around Fayetteville that wanted to buy your truffles.
Yes. So the minimum was actually a kilo of truffles. And so my original intention was not to sell them, but to just buy a few truffles to eat, you know, for personal consumption. And so I found this French company in France that was willing to send me a kilo of truffle. And when they arrived, I realized there's actually quite a lot of truffles here. And that's when I decided, why not try to sell a portion of these to some local restaurants? So I cold called the three best restaurants in town, and my dad drove me, and I stopped at Target along the way picking up a little kitchen scale, and I basically just pretended like I was making a delivery and showed up to the chef and said, oh, I have, you know, these truffles from France. Would you like, you know, to buy a few? And so
how do you convince somebody to buy truffles from you when you're – how old at this point?
So I was 15.
15, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a simpler process than you might think. I just showed up and said, you know, I've got these truffles. Do you care to take a look? And I don't know if it was the novelty of this young buck-toothed kid walking in with truffles or the quality of the truffles themselves that completed the sale. But I had fun with it, and I turned a profit, and I just kept reinvesting into larger and larger orders. And my parents would take turns driving me to local larger cities, and I would hop out and cold call, and I established this little company in Arkansas, and I turned my parents' garage into a shipping center, and I would go to the airport after school several days a week to go pick up the truffles that had arrived, and I would, you know, make sales in between classes.
Did your teachers notice that you were doing this work while you were in class? You talk about in this book, you know, sitting with your iPhone under your desk making deals.
Well, we had like a no-tolerance policy with cell phones. So if I was caught, it would be taken and I couldn't get it back until the end of the day. And then I think the second offense was not getting it back for a week or something. So I had to be pretty careful when making the sales. And so I eventually was having issues with quality. And so I started looking online for another source. And that's when I found an Italian company that was looking for U.S. representation. And I sent them an email, and they were based in Italy, and I was, of course, based in Arkansas, and they were going to be in New York for the annual Fancy Food Show, which is one of the main trade events of the specialty food industry that summer. And I was also going to be in New York that summer looking at different colleges. And so we decided to meet in New York. And I remember they asked if I could meet for a beer. And I said, oh, sure, I'll meet, you know, for a beer. And so I ordered a ginger beer in hopes that they wouldn't realize I was underage. And it worked. And we had this great conversation, and they decided to offer me this job to sell truffles for them. And so my job was to find all the customers, and their job was to provide the truffles. And so senior year is when I started working for them full time, you know, in between classes and after school. And I told my parents after graduation that I was moving to New York to strike it big in the truffle business, to do this in the big leagues.
A lot of people may wonder how you, as a young man, and even as a boy, I mean, you call yourself Truffle Boy on the cover of this book, had the ability to determine what was a good truffle and what was a bad truffle. Is there something about your sense of smell or taste that helped you, you know, do well at this job?
Well, everything I've learned in these 9 years has been self-taught. That's not to say I've had a lot of help along the way in terms of meeting so many amazing people in this industry. But I have always loved cooking, and I grew up cooking with my grandfather and my mother, and entertaining and cooking for people was always such a strong importance. And so I've just applied that same passion for food to truffles.
What is the difference between a black truffle and a white truffle?
The two main differences, other than being different varieties entirely, is that they come into season at a different time. The white truffle from October through December in the fall, and the black truffle, or the winter black at least, between December and March. They have a very different aroma altogether. The white truffle is a very garlicky, kind of cheesy aroma. A black truffle smells more earthy, almost cognac-y, with this just very intoxicating, dark, you know, musk. But I've heard everything from white truffles smell like marijuana and Italian sausage to, you know, garlic and cheese and so forth. So it's very hard to describe.
And you write that there's now a little bit of change in the market because of truffles coming from China.
Well, the Chinese have their own indigenous variety. Everyone that sells truffles goes by the Latin name of the truffle variety. So the white truffle is tuber magnatum, and the black winter that everyone is familiar with is tuber melanosporum. And the Chinese truffle has its own Latin name, tuber indicum, and it looks identical to the famed winter black truffle.
But it's not
truffles,
as good.
It's not as good because it actually has no natural aroma. And so what companies will do is they'll mix these Chinese truffles in with the winter black truffles, and truffles give off this very intense aroma. And so they'll perfume the skin of the Chinese truffle, and at first glance, it'll look and smell like the real thing. But only after a day or two will the smell fade, and you realize you have this bland truffle lookalike.
Which brings us to another point that you make in this book, which is that the truffle business is kind of shady.
It is. It totally is shady. And I think part of the success that I've been so lucky to have with my company and my reputation is that I'm very transparent about all the ingredients that we sell. What I'm trying to do with Truffle Boy is to also demystify these once very underground, luxe ingredients that had these snobby reputations, and be as educated as possible, and also try to just make these ingredients a little bit more approachable for a younger generation.
So if somebody out there is listening and they've never had a truffle and they never thought that they should spend the money on getting truffles at some fancy restaurant, what would you tell them?
Well, I would say if someone is wanting to try an ingredient that literally smells like nothing else they've ever had, then the truffle is the ingredient for them. And truffles have been, you know, lustful and highly regarded for centuries for having this intoxicating aroma and flavor. So I would definitely encourage interested, adventuresome eaters to seek out truffles.
That's Ian Perkayastha, who is the author of the new book, Truffle Boy, My Unexpected Journey Through the Exotic Food Underground. He's also the creator and owner of Regalis Foods. Ian, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.